Now take your Bibles, if you would please, and open them to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We're going to be thinking this morning about God's grand memorial. God's grand memorial. Now men have set up memorials of various different kinds down through the years. Many of these memorials are centuries old, some of them even into the thousands of years old. And they stand to memorialize significant events or significant people. Now, what is God's grand memorial? Well, God's grand memorial is the Lord's Supper. Well, what exactly is the Lord's Supper? Well, the Lord's Supper is something that the Lord Himself instituted at the Feast of the Unleavened Bread shortly before His death. And there's a purpose for it. Now, we're going to learn about God's grand memorial as we study 1 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning of verse 17 and going down to the end of the chapter. And there are three things that I want you to notice about the Lord's Supper from this passage of Scripture. Now, we're going to start kind of in the middle. As we think, first of all, about the design of the Lord's Supper. There is the design of the Lord's Supper. Well, as we partake of the Lord's Supper, can we just take it any way we want? Can we just do it any way we want? Use whatever we want at the Lord's table? Take it any day that we want to take it? Well, I suggest to you that there is a design for the Lord's Supper. And the Apostle Paul reminds us of this design. Look at verses 23 beginning of 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Paul said, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you." And so this is something that comes from the Lord. This wasn't Paul's idea. This wasn't some design that was born in the mind of a flawful man. But this was the Lord's idea. Paul said, "I received this from the Lord, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is My body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of Me.' In the same manner, He also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in My blood. This do, as often as you drink it, in remembrance of Me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till He comes.'" Now, we can read exactly what the Lord had said according to Matthew's account back in Matthew chapter 26, beginning about verse 17. Now, we are told in verse 17 that on the first day of the Feast of the Unleavened Bread, the disciples came to Jesus saying to Him, "Where do you want us to prepare for you to eat the Passover?" And He gives them instructions and they follow them and they meet and they begin to eat the Passover. But it's during the Feast of the Unleavened Bread. And so we know that when Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper, beginning here in verse 26, we know that the bread that He broke was unleavened bread. And so that's what we use when we observe the Lord's Supper. We use unleavened bread. We don't use a sweet cake. We don't use cornbread. We use unleavened bread because that's what the Lord used. That's what the Lord authorized when He instituted the Lord's Supper. And as they were eating, Matthew 26:26, Jesus took bread, that's unleavened bread. He blessed and broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is My body." Then He took the cup. Well, what is the cup? What was in the cup? Well, in verse 29, He said, "I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on." Well, what's the fruit of the vine? Well, the fruit of the vine, whenever you see a reference to that in the New Testament, it is a reference to grape juice. We call it grape juice today. That's the fruit of the vine. That's the Greek word that's used, a word that refers to grape juice. And so, when we talk about the emblems and thinking about the design of the Lord's Supper, we know that what we are supposed to use is the unleavened bread. Not just any old bread will do. It has to be the unleavened bread. And it must be the fruit of the vine. That is, it must be grape juice. This is what we use according to the design of the Lord. But now we're not eating this bread and drinking this cup in order to fulfill our hunger. That's not the purpose of it. The purpose of it in verse 26 is to proclaim the Lord's death till He comes. Notice the emblems. We call them emblems for a reason. They are emblematic. Well, they're emblematic of what? They're emblematic of His body, and they are emblematic of His blood. Now, no bones were broken in Jesus' body. That was prophesied. That prophecy was fulfilled. No bones were broken, but His body itself was broken open. The skin was broken. The blood poured forth. There was the crown of thorns. There was the driving of the nails through His wrist and through His ankles. There was the sword in the side after He had died, where the water and the blood poured forth. And so Jesus' body was broken open, and His precious blood, which the fruit of the vine emblem symbolizes, represents His precious blood that was shed for us. And so when we eat the bread, we're not thinking about fulfilling our hunger. We're thinking about His body. When we drink of the fruit of the vine, we're not thinking about quenching our thirst. We're thinking about His blood. We are proclaiming His death. That death that came about, not because of any wrong or sin that He had done, for He was pure and sinless, but for our sins and our wrongs. And so when we partake of the Lord's Supper according to the Lord's design, we're thinking about what He did for us. But you know, that design was also for the first day of the week. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 7, we find that the disciples came together upon the first day of the week to break bread. It's the first day of the week when we come together. Not on Tuesday, not on Saturday, not on Wednesday. We come together on the Lord's Day in order to observe the Lord's Supper. But notice also that the Lord's Supper, the grand memorial, was to be observed when the church come together. As a church, the disciples came together, Acts 20, verse 7. In our text here in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 17, Paul said, "Now in giving these instructions, I do not praise you, since you come together not for the better but for the worse. For first of all, when you come together as a church, I hear that there are divisions among you, and in part I believe it. For there must also be factions among you, that those who are approved may be recognized among you. Therefore, when you come together in one place, it is not to eat the Lord's Supper." Now, Paul's meaning is it should have been to eat the Lord's Supper. It should have been to proclaim the Lord's death when you come together as a church, but it was not. They were distorting it. We'll get to that in a moment. But the point we're making here is it's to be observed, it's to be taken when you come together as a church. We don't send a few in the back room in the evening service on Sunday evening to partake of it apart from the church. There's no scriptural background for that. We don't cater it out to the homes of widows. We don't cater it out to nursing homes. The Lord's Supper is to be observed when the church comes together as a church. That is the Lord's design. Number two, we've seen the design of the Lord's Supper. Now we're going to think about the distortion of the Lord's Supper. Now this goes back again to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and we'll just pick up where we left off a moment ago. Verse 20. "Therefore, when you come together in one place, it is not to eat the Lord's Supper." So evidently there's some sort of problem. Indeed, there was. Read on. "For in eating, each one takes his own supper ahead of others, and one is hungry and another is drunk." What? "Do you not have houses to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and shame those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I do not praise you." Now, the Corinthians here were distorting a distortion. The first distortion was that they were turning the Lord's Supper into a common meal. They were using it for the purpose of satisfying the physical hunger. That's not the purpose of the Lord's Supper. Paul said, you have houses to eat and drink in for that purpose. You can fulfill that somewhere outside of the services. When you come together as a church to observe the Lord's Supper, it's to proclaim the Lord's death till He come, not to fulfill your hunger. But even worse, not only was they distorting the Lord's Supper in that way, but they were even then neglecting the poor. Everybody else was getting plenty to eat. The others, they weren't getting anything to eat. So they were distorting the distortion. They were distorting the Lord's Supper. There are people who distort the Lord's Supper today in the same way. They've turned it into a feast. They've turned it into a meal, something that's meant to draw people in or something that's meant to satisfy the natural hunger of the body. That's not the purpose of the Lord's Supper. Other ways people distort the Lord's Supper. They don't observe it on the first day of the week, as we've seen that the Bible teaches. Some take it on Saturday. Some might take it on Tuesday night. The Lord's Supper is to be observed upon the first day of the week. Acts chapter 20 and in verse 7. Don't distort the design the Lord has given. Do not distort it. There are grave consequences to that. In 2 John verse 9, the Bible says, he who transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. Now that's a pretty serious consequence. Does not have God. Well, according to the doctrine of Christ, according to the design of the Lord for the Lord's Supper is to be taken upon the first day of the week. It's not to be a common meal. It's to be taken to proclaim the Lord's death till He come. When the church comes together, to change that in any way is to distort, is to transgress the doctrine of Christ. What's the consequence? Again, 2 John 9. You do not have God. Don't distort the Lord's design. And so we see here in talking about God's grand memorial, that's the Lord's Supper, we see the design, and then there is the distortion, and then finally, there is the discipline of the Lord's Supper. Now go back to our text, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 27. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. And so you see, Paul is saying here that there are people partaking the Lord's Supper, and they're not following the design. That is, they're not thinking about the Lord's death, burial, and resurrection. They're thinking about something else. They're either thinking about fulfilling their own physical desire for hunger. That's not the purpose of the Lord's Supper. They're thinking about that. What are some of the things people think about during the Lord's Supper? Now, I say this is the discipline because Paul says examine yourselves. The idea is disciplining yourselves during the Lord's Supper. Disciplining myself, making my mind stay focused upon the Lord's death. That's what Paul means when he says examine yourself. When you're partaking of the Lord's Supper, don't let your mind wander here and yonder. Don't sit there thinking about what you're going to be having for lunch a little later. Don't sit there thinking about how in the world am I going to pay the water bill this month. Don't sit there thinking about what a terrible sermon that was the preacher just preached, or how terrible the singing was, or how beautiful the singing was. Don't be thinking about what so-and-so's doing up there on the second pew from the front. Don't be thinking about what so-and-so's kids are doing over there to your right. Don't be thinking about that spot on your britches leg. Don't be thinking about anything else but the Lord's death. Discipline yourself and think only about the Lord's death during the Lord's Supper. Now that is discipline. It's not easy. We have to really keep our minds in check to think about only the Lord's death. That is the grand memorial. God's grand memorial, the Lord's Supper. There is the design. There is the distortion, and there is the discipline. My friend, are you a child of God? Are you a Christian? The Bible tells us how to become a Christian. It begins by hearing the gospel. Faith comes by hearing, Romans 10:17. Then you must believe what you heard, that is that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved, Mark 16:16. After hearing and believing, you need to repent of your sins, Acts 2:38. Confess your faith in Christ, Romans 10:9-10, and be baptized to have your sins washed away. Ananias said to Saul in Acts 22:16, why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. If we do this, we have become, as the Bible says, a son of God. Read Galatians 3, verses 26 to 28. Read those verses and ask yourself the question, am I a son of God? If we can assist you, we'd like to invite you to come and to visit with us, and we would be more than happy to do that. This message is brought to you by the Southside Church of Christ in Smyrna, Tennessee. A new message airs each Sunday morning right here on WGNS from 10:45 to 11 a.m. You can listen to hundreds of my sermons at our website, defendthegospel.com. We'd like to invite you to worship with us at any or all of our services. We're the Southside Church of Christ in Smyrna, Tennessee. We meet on Sundays at 9 and 10 a.m. and 6 p.m., as well as Wednesdays at 7 p.m. We meet at 1167 South Flower Street. That's Murfreesboro Road in Smyrna, Tennessee. Thank you for listening, and have a wonderful day.